Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Ramavam Goldhar and Thirma Sekhaz Yavamas Daf Kuf Hei, the 12th Parak, Mitzvahs Chalitza. So the three topics are going to focus on number one. Rav Shmuel Bar Ami said in the name of Yonasan, Menanu Gzar Din Sheishim Oshvua, Sheinu Miskarea. From where do we know that a gezera accompanied with an oath can never be torn up? For the Pasuk states, therefore I have sworn concerning Beis Eli that the sin of Beis Eli will never be atoned bezevach u'bemincha, by a carbon or a mincha. Rabbah said, the Pasuk states only that the sin cannot be atoned by a carbon or a mincha, abba meskaper u'bedivrei Torah, but it can be atoned for with Torah learning. Abai said it cannot be atoned with the carbon or mincha of a meskaper b'gmilas chasadim, but it can be atoned for with acts of kindness. Rabbah and Abai were both descendants from Beis Eli. Rabbah, who engaged in Torah learning, lived for 40 years. Abai, who engaged in both Torah and Chesed, lived for 60 years. A brisa tells that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was informed that there was a family in Yerushalayim whose members would die when they reached the age of 18. He suspected they were from Beis Eli, and he told them, "L'chuvi iskum b'Torah b'tichyu, go and engage in Torah and live." They did, and they lived, and people called them Mishpachas Yochanan after him. Point number two, Rabbi Chim, Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe were seen together, and one of them said, HaMetzbal al-Sar Sheyitan Einav L'mata, one who prays must direct his eyes downward, which Rashi explains is towards Eretz Yisrael, where the Shekhinah dwells. As the Pasuk states, Vayu Einai V'libi Sham Kol Yamim, and my eyes and my heart shall be there all the days. The other one said, Einav L'mala, his eyes should be directed upwards. As the Pasuk states, Nisa Levenu al Kapayim el Kael b'Shamayim. Let us lift our hearts with our hands to God in Shemayim. When Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi heard what they were discussing, he told them that his father said, HaMetzbal tzar sheyitan einav lemata v'libo lemala kedei sheyizkayim u'shnei mikros halu. One who prays needs to direct his eyes downward and his heart upward so that one can fulfill both psukim. The Marsha explains that Rabbi Yossi held that most of the Shekhinah left Eretz Yisrael after the Churban. Therefore, one's thoughts should be directed towards Shemayim. But since some of the Shekhinah remains in Eretz Yisrael, his eyes should be directed downwards towards it. And pointing with you, the Gemara writes that since Rabbi Yishmael ben Rabbi Yossi was obese, when he arrived at Rabbi Shir, he needed to go slowly to a seat, which made it appear as if he was stepping over the heads of those who were already seated on the ground. When Abdan rebuked him and asked him if he was worthy to learn Torah from Rabbi, Rabbi Yishmael responded, "V'ki Moshe yahagun luma Torah mifi agura? Was Moshe worthy to learn Torah from the mouth of the Almighty?" Abdan responded, "Now, are you Moshe?" To which Rabbi Shmuel replied, "Viki Rabbeche Elkimhi? Now is your master God?" In the meantime, a Yavama came before Rabbi, and he told Abdan to check if she had reached maturity. Rabbi Shmuel said to Rabbi that his father, Rabbi Yossi, said that Ish, written in the Parsha of Chalitza, indicates that the Yavam must be an adult, aval Isha ben Gadol ben Katana, but a woman can be an adult or a minor to perform Chalitza. Rabbi said to Abdan, "Come back, since it's not necessary to check. Kvar Horazakin, the elder sage, Rabbi Yossi, has already ruled that a Yavama who's a minor can do Chalitza." The Gemara relates that Abdan got saras and suffered from other calamities. So once again, the three points are Namon. Rav Shmuel bar Ami said in the name of Rabbi Yonasan, Menanu Gzar Din Sheishi Moshavua She'enu Miskarea. From where do we know that a gezera accompanied with an oath can never be torn up? For the Pasuk states, therefore I have sworn concerning Beis Eli that the sin of Beis Eli will never be atoned bezevach u'bemincha, by a carbon or a mincha. Rabbah said, the Pasuk states only that the sin cannot be atoned by a carbon or a mincha, abba meskaper u'bedivrei Torah, but it can be atoned for with Torah learning. Abai said it cannot be atoned with the carbon or mincha of a meskaper b'gmilas chasadim, but it can be atoned for with acts of kindness. Rabbah and Abai were both descendants from Beis Eli. Rabbah, who engaged in Torah learning, lived for 40 years. Abai, who engaged in both Torah and Chesed, lived for 60 years. A brisa tells that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was informed that there was a family in Yerushalayim whose members would die when they reached the age of 18. He suspected they were from Beis Eli, and he told them, "L'chuvi iskum b'Torah b'tichyu, go and engage in Torah and live." They did, and they lived, and people called them Mishpachas Yochanan after him. Point number two, Rabbi Chim, Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe were seen together, and one of them said, HaMetzbal al-Sar Sheyitan Einav L'mata, one who prays must direct his eyes downward, which Rashi explains is towards Eretz Yisrael, where the Shekhinah dwells. As the Pasuk states, Vayu Einai V'libi Sham Kol Yamim, and my eyes and my heart shall be there all the days. The other one said, Einav L'mala, his eyes should be directed upwards. As the Pasuk states, Nisa Levenu al Kapayim el Kael b'Shamayim. Let us lift our hearts with our hands to God in Shemayim. When Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yossi heard what they were discussing, he told them that his father said, one who prays needs to direct his eyes downward and his heart upward so that one can fulfill both psukim. The Marashah explains that Rabbi Yossi held that most of the Shekhinah left Eretz Yisrael after the Churban. Therefore, one's thoughts should be directed towards Shemayim. But since some of the Shekhinah remains in Eretz Yisrael, his eyes should be directed downwards towards it. And pointing with you, the Gemara writes that since Rabbi Yishmael ben Rabbi Yossi was obese, when he arrived at Rabbi Shir, he needed to go slowly to a seat, which made it appear as if he was stepping over the heads of those who were already seated on the ground. When Abdan rebuked him and asked him if he was worthy to learn Torah from Rabbi, Rabbi Yishmael responded, was Moshe worthy to learn Torah from the mouth of the Almighty? Abdan responded, now, are you Moshe? To which Rabbi Yishmael replied, now is your master God? In the meantime, a Yavama came before Rebbe, and he told Abdam to check if she had reached maturity. Rabbi Shmuel said to Rebbe that his father, Rabbi Yossi, said that Ish, written in the Parsha of Chalitza, indicates that the Yavama must be an adult, aval Isha ben Gadol ben Katana, but a woman can be an adult or a minor to perform Chalitza. Rebbe said to Abdam, come back since it's not necessary to check. Kvar Horazakin, the elder sage, Rabbi Yossi, has already ruled that a Yavama who's a minor can do Chalitza. The Gemara relates that Abdan got saras and suffered from other calamities. Alright, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Kuf Hey, and our standard Simmon is a hacker, and we use a Russian hacker for the Simmon. So here goes. The Russian hacker, who came from a family whose members died young, gave a hacking class on learning and chesed. And when he discovered a diagram of a person praying looking down, while his words floated up, a heavyset rabbi slowly walked to the front of the class. Once again, in slow motion. The Russian hacker, that must be more Duff Kufe. The Russian hacker who came from a family whose members died young gave a hacking class on learning and chesed, which reminds us, Rabbah said that the sin of Beis Eli cannot be atoned for by a carbon or a mincha of a miskaper who be divrei Torah, but it can be atoned for with Torah learning. Abai said it can be atoned for with acts of chesed. Rabbah and Abai were both descendants from the house of Eli. Rabbah, who engaged in Torah learning, lived 40 years. Abaya, who engaged in both Torah and chesed, lived for 60 years. Abai said that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was informed that there was a family in Yerushalayim whose members would die when they reached the age of 18. He suspected they were from Beis Eli and told them, go and engage in Torah and live, which they did. So the Russian hacker came from a family whose members died young, gave a hacking class on learning and chesed. And when he discovered a diagram of a person praying looking down, while his words floated up, which reminds us there was a malchokas based on psukim, whether one should daven with their eyes downward toward Eretz Yisrael or upwards toward Shemayim. When Yishmael ben Rabbi Yossi heard what was being discussed, he said that his father Rabbi Yossi had said, one who davens needs to direct his eyes downward and his heart upward so that one can fulfill both psukim. The Marashah explains that Rabbi Yossi held that most of the Shekhinah left Eretz Yisrael after the Churban. Therefore, one's thoughts should be directed toward Shemayim. But since some of the Shekhinah remains in Eretz Yisrael, his eyes should be directed downwards towards it. So the Russian hacker who came from a family whose members died young gave a hacking class on learning and chesed. And when he discovered a diagram of a person praying, looking down, while his words floated up, a heavy-set rabbi slowly walked to the front of the class. Which reminds us, the Gemara relates the exchange between Abdan and Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi when Rabbi Shmuel, who was heavy-set, entered Rabbi Shir, and it appeared as if he was stepping over the heads of others who were already seated. Later, Rabbi Shmuel clarified to Rabbi that his father, Rabbi Yossi, ruled based on the word Ish in the Pasuk that the Yavam must be an adult, aval Isha ben Gadol ben Katan, but a woman can be an adult or a minor to perform Chalitza. So once again, the Russian hacker who came from a family whose members died young gave a hacking class on learning and chesed. And when he discovered a diagram of a person praying looking down, while his words floated up, a heavy-set rabbi slowly walked to the front of the class. All right, now it's time for four Balabat Chazara. Daf Kuf Aleph. So the Zimmer Daf Kuf Aleph is a bird caller going caw, caw. At the bird caller competition, that must be more Daf Kuf Aleph. Caw, caw. At the bird caller competition, the reigning champ attempted to call out caw, caw to provoke a little chick to strike two roosters at once, which reminds us the Gemara continues discussing the implications of a child where there is a suffix, which of two men is his real father. It was taught in a braisa, if he struck this one and then struck that one, or he cursed this one and then cursed that one, or he cursed them bebazachas at the same time, or he hit them at the same time, he's chayv misa, for one of them is certainly his father. Rabbi Yehuda says, bebazachas chayv bezeh chazeh pater, if he strikes them simultaneously, he's chayv, but if he does so one after the other, he's pater. Rashi explains that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there were two warnings, and each one is a hasra safek, an uncertain warning, and therefore he's pater. The Tanakama, however, holds that hasra safek, shma hasra, an uncertain warning, is considered a valid warning, since it's clear in the end, even though the two men were struck at separate times, that a capital offense has been committed. The Gemara brings another braisa that Rabbi Yudah holds that even babas achas, even at the same time, he would be pater. So at the bird caller competition, the reigning champ attempted to call out caw, caw, to provoke a little chick to strike two roosters at once, while a panel of laymen judges read out the instructions, which reminds us the opening mission of the 12th parak states, mitzvah chalitza b'shlosha dayanim v'afilo shloshin hediotos. The mitzvah of chalitza is performed before a panel of three judges, and even if all three are laymen. The Gemara explains that this means that even though they can be laymen, the be'ina b'shlosha sh'yodim l'hakruz ke'in dayanim, that we require three laymen who know how to dictate to the Yavam Yavama the psukim they must recite, like judges. So, at the bird caller competition, the reigning champ attempted to call out caw, caw, to provoke a little chick to strike two roosters at once, while a panel of laymen judges read out the instructions and watched carefully to see if spittle would issue from his mouth. Which reminds the Gemara comes to reject the source that was brought from Yehuda that laymen are valid, for the pasuk of La'ene is required for what Rava taught, that the judges must see the spittle coming from the mouth of the Yavama when she spits before the Yavam, as the pasuk states, La'neha zekenim v'yarka, to the eyes of the elders, and she shall spit. The Gemara concludes the review of sources derived from where the pasuk says Yisrael, which implies Yisrael Koldehu, any member of Yisrael may oversee a chalitza. Daf Kuf Beis. So the Sim Daf Kuf Beis is a cave. So here goes. The three gerim sitting in a cave, that must be more in Daf Kuf Beis. The three gerim sitting in a cave, judging other gerim, which reminds us, Rav has said, ger danas chavero devar Torah, ger can judge his fellow ger according to Torah laws, as stated, som tesim alecha melch, ashe yivcha Hashem alkecha bo, you shall surely place over yourself a king whom Hashem, your God, will choose. From the midst of your brothers shall you place over yourself a king. This implies that it is only over yourself, meaning born Jews, that we require a king to be someone who is from the midst of your brothers. But a ger can judge his fellow ger. So the three gerim sitting in a cave, judging other gerim, heard a commotion in the next cave, when Yisrael judges instructing the Yavama to remove the shoe, which reminds us, Rav Kahana said to Shmuel, from what source we know that the term chalitza used in the pasuk of v'chaltza na'alo me'al raglo, she shall perform chalitza with the shoe upon his foot, means removal, we seem to derive its meaning from the pasuk about tsaras on a house, v'chiltzu asavanim asher behena nega, and they shall remove, v'chiltzu, the stones that contain the affliction. So the three gerim sitting in a cave judging other gerim heard a commotion in the next cave when Yisrael judges instructing the Yavama to remove the shoe, discovered the Yavam was wearing a sock, which reminds us, the Mishnah stated, Ban Pilya Chalitza Sapasua, if Chalitza was performed with a sock, her Chalitza is invalid. The Gemara infers, Dan Pilya Lav Minahu, that a sock is not a shoe. This was learned as well in a Mishnah in Shkalim. Daf Kuf Gimel, so the Zimmer Daf Kuf Gimel is Yerushalmi Kugel. So here goes. The amputee Yavam, who put a large Yerushalmi Kugel on his lap, Yerushalmi Kugel, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Gimel. The amputee Yavam, who put a large Yerushalmi Kugel on his lap to ensure the Chalitza shoe would only go on his lower leg, which reminds the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Alef Amud Alef stated that if the Yavam removed the shoe, Minara Kubala Mata Kashera, from the knee downward, the Chalitza is valid. Minara Kubala Mala Basua, from the knee and above, it's an invalid Chalitza. This indicates that even though the word regal literally means foot, it can be understood to also refer to the leg. So the amputee Yavam, who put a large Yerushalmi Kugel on his lap to ensure the Chalitza shoe would only go on his lower leg, told the Yavama named Yael, standing next to a snake, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said, referring to the incident of Yael and Sisra, Sheva be'ilas ba osa rasha ba'osa yom, that rasha performed seven acts of relations with her on that day. The Gemara explains the kashadi bezuhuma, that he cast impurity into her. Rabbi Yochanan said that the moment the nachash seduced Chava, it cast impurity into her. Yisrael shamdu har Sinai, paska zuhuma san, when Kal Yisrael stood at har Sinai, their impurity was stopped and they returned to their original pure state. The impurity was not stopped from the idolaters, and that is what was cast into Yael. So the amputee Yavam, who put a large Yerushalmi Kugel on his lap to ensure the Chalitza shoe would only go on his lower leg, told the Yavama named Yael, standing next to a snake, that she cannot use the sandal mucha from the house with Saras because it's considered already pulverized. Which reminds us, Rapapi said in the name of Rabba Mami, not do Chalitza with a sandal muskar, a shoe that was confined due to the possibility that it has Saras, but if one did, the Chalitza is valid. With a sandal muchlat, a sandal that has been confirmed to have tsaras, chalitza is a pasula, the chalitza is invalid. Rashi explains that since the shoe must be burned, it's considered already pulverized, which means that the shoe is viewed as lacking the minimal size required for chalitza. Rapapa said in the name of Rava that if one did chalitza with a sandal muchlat, the chalitza is still valid. Daf Kuf Dalet, so this in Daf Kuf Dalet is a code. So here goes. the covert basin that performed a chalitza at night, used a code. Code? That must mean we're on Daf Kuf Dalet. The covert basin that performed a chalitza at night, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, a chalitza performed at night is kasher, but Rabbi Lezer rules it's pasula. The Gemara seeks to define what the machlokas is based on. It concludes, mar sover chalitza ketchilas din damya, or mar sover chalitza gemar din damya. Rabbi Lezer holds that a chalitza is compared to the beginning of a trial and is therefore invalid if done at night. The Tanna Kamma holds the chalitza is comparable to the conclusion of a trial and is therefore valid if performed at night. So the covert basin that performed a chalitza at night used a code made of saliva to tell the Yavama that she had to do the essential acts of chalitza and spit, which reminds us, if the Yavama removed the shua and recited the psukim but did not spit, Rabbi Elazar says the chalitza is invalid, but Rabbi Kiva says the chalitza is valid. Rabbi Elazar said to Rabbi Kiva, the pasuk in the parsha of chalitza says, kacha yeyaseh, so shall it be done, kol davar shemaisa ma'akev, which implies that anything that is an action is essential. Therefore, if the Yavama does not spit, the chalitza is invalid. Rabbi Kiva said to Rabbi Elazar, misham raya, from there you bring a proof. The pasuk says, kacha yeyaseh le'ish, so shall be done to the man, kol davar shemaisa be'ish, which implies kol davar shemaisa be'ish, anything that is an action that involves a man is essential. This excludes the spitting, which is done by the Yavama. So, the covert basin that performed a chalitza at night used a code made of saliva to tell the Yavama that she had to do the essential acts of a chalitza and spit, while the Elam, who could not perform a chalitza because he was not fit to speak, stood outside to guard. Which reminds us, the chalitza of an Elam and Elemis, a mute man or a mute woman, is invalid, and the first part of a Mishnah, which rules that chalitza is valid even when there's no kriya, follows the opinion of Rabbi Zer, who said, Korui labila ein bila ma'akevas, kol she'ein rui labila, bila ma'akevas. Regarding any mincha that's fit for blending, blending is not essential to it, and the mincha is valid without the blending. And any mincha that's not fit for blending, blending is essential, and not blending the ingredients invalidates the mincha. Similarly, if the yavam and yavama are fit to speak, the actual kriya is not ma'akev to the chalitza. But if one of them are not fit to speak, the chalitza is invalid. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman of Zichu wishing a great day and great learning.